And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me. Chase McCabe.
That's me.
That's him. Max Herz behind the glass.
Hello, friends.
Oh, Jim Nantz,
too. Oh, Jim.
Max and Jim.
Just in case Jim's listening as he lands in Nashville call the Titans game.
You think that's a good point. Here right now?
I don't know.
Do they usually come in on Friday or do they come in on Saturday?
Yeah.
Air Force Romo, touching
down. They'll probably check out of practice, right? And then they'll do other sit-downs tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're probably here. What, have watched film all week on KC, the Titans. Going to be fun.
Yeah. Willie D is in parts unknown out west. I doubt they stayed in Denver.
They did, actually.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. Surprised. I would change that schedule and just
I'd
get
be
out.
Like, let's go
just
ahead and
go
bounce.
On and, yeah. Let's just go on.
Oh, you know what, though? Because they're going to San Jose. Doesn't San Jose's airport have like a.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. That's very true. It's weird. They got like a curfew.
A curfew. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, they can't fly. You can't fly in after like 10 or something like that. Yeah,
no, I know. They don't. We've already talked about this. The new thing is, you know, just stay, get your good night's rest, and get after it this morning. So they'll probably be leaving in about an hour.
Do we think they got some good rest last night? I don't think I'd be able to sleep after that one.
Well, I'll get your thoughts, since I guess we'll just go there. We'll have Mike Rupp, by the way, from NHL Network at 11 o'clock. Jim Wyatt coming up in less than 15 minutes to talk about the big matchup at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. Richard Deitch also on the show today. We'll get a little preview of Alabama LSU later on with Travis Ryer. We've got You Just Made the List. Pick six, as you can tell, a loaded show on this Friday to wrap up the week. So I'll just get, before I lend my opinion and what I said last night, I'll just get your thoughts.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on this game that took place last night?
I know a lot of people, and I was one of them, that I kind of sat there and I'm like, is this the worst loss in franchise history? I mean, 9 goals that they've never given up 9 goals before.
So the answer is yes.
The answer is yes from
that
standpoint.
They've never done that before.
I saw Adam's tweet last night that it was the first time as a franchise they'd given up 9 goals. The second period was atrocious, and that is after they take the lead. They have a 3-2 lead, and I was at at an establishment watching it, and I'm like, all right, here we go, and I leave to go to my car, and by the time I got to my car, it was 6-3. I'm like, what the heck just happened? And so, it was one of those humbling. I heard Hal use the phrase, hockey can be very humbling. And I think that's the perfect way to put it, because they got humbled last night. Now, with all that said, I think this team is good enough and they have played well enough in the early parts of this season that they can move past this. You don't need to dwell on it too much, but you definitely have a lot you can learn from it, that any given night a team can get the best of you in any given period. A team can get the best of you. It was just a really, really bad period of hockey that ended up biting them, and they were never going to come back from that. The fact that they scored another goal, I think, is a small victory. And they, you know, gave up another one late, but you just had every aspect of their game not work for them for a short amount of time, and Colorado put up a 9 spot before the night was over. And it was one of the worst games I've seen them played, but I think it's something they can learn from and move on from.
They've never given up 9 goals in a game in franchise history. They've scored 9 goals. They've never given up 9 goals. So,
which is pretty impressive.
The reason I bring that up, it is, because it does happen. The reason I bring it up is what is the natural reaction after a clunker? What do we normally say?
The sky is falling.
Well, I'm saying what do we say? Not people out
after
not the
a,
fans or the
after
tweets.
A clunker like
I
that.
I had a tweet last night. The season's over. I was like, I don't even respond to you. Like I wouldn't dare waste a second of my time. I don't know if you're being serious or not. I don't know on Twitter if you're being serious, but if you are, I really would not waste 1 second of my time if you believe game 16, the season is over. So, I'm not saying, what do we say? What have you heard me say?
Well,
just focus on me. What would I usually say after a clunker?
Like, you just like, oh, that sucked. You move on. I don't know exactly.
Usually it's the...
Yeah, you just crumble it up and throw it in the trash.
Throw that one in the trash can, right?
Yep.
Just move on?
Right.
I didn't say that last night. I said that. I said that's what I normally say. Throw in the trash, move on. Okay? No reason to harp on it. I said, no, keep it. Keep it and take it with you to Northern California and the rest of this road trip. I don't think you ignore this one. Like, this one needs to sting. This one needs to stick with you for the rest of the road trip. Okay? Don't crumble it up and throw it in the trash can.
That's a fair way to look at it.
Don't delete it. Take it with you. Because you got absolutely embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
You got embarrassed. There's no other way to put it. I mean, they said it. Roman Josi, the captain, who was a stand-up guy, who was the captain and the leader, did the right thing. He stood up there and he answered questions after a tough loss. Because that's what professionals do. See, either in wins or losses, you answer questions and you deal with the media. That's how it works. In the good times and the bad times. And there's going to be bad times over the course of 82 games. And he did that. And the captain stood up there like a pro and he answered the questions. Okay? And he said those things.
Yeah, and kudos to him for doing that, by the way.
That's what I said last night on postgame. Good job by Roman Josi. I respect that a lot. And there are guys in that room that will stand up there and answer things in good or bad. Don't run and hide. Don't run and hide, okay? Don't not talk. We get it.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be happy. No, but nobody said to do a stand-up act and tell jokes. But stand up there and do your job. Okay?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. And Roman did that and some others. He wasn't the only one.
Nope.
We had Duchesne,
audio
Forsberg.
From Duchesne and Forsberg.
But the fact
But I said, you know what? Don't throw it in the trash. No. I think you absolutely talk about this. Like, what happened? Learn from it. Get better. Yeah. Motivate you.
And that's what I said. I mean, you can definitely learn some things from this game.
But I don't – usually it's the typical, just throw it in the trash can and move on line and don't worry about it. It's just one of 82. Yeah. But from this one, no. I didn't have that approach. I feel – the opposite. And I said, and I fully anticipate they will, and they'll respond on Saturday night, tomorrow night. I do. Because it is humbling. When you play at the highest level, that's why when we talk about confidence, and you don't understand, when you get to a level where everybody, there is no break. And by the way, Colorado didn't have Mikko Rantanen.
No.
Gabriel Landeskog. And didn't have their starting goaltender, Philip Grubauer. So you're thinking, okay.
And they had lost three in a row.
Yeah, they got a lot of weapons out. They just got smoked in Dallas Tuesday night.
So they were going to be PO'd for greatness.
Yeah, things have not gone well. But it just goes to show you, man, this league is good. And you got to bring it. If you don't bring it, you will get embarrassed. It doesn't matter who you are. If you don't bring it, especially on the road, rut-row.
Yeah, and I would, you know... I pride myself in anything I say, you know, about a team on the air, I would say to their face. And I think the thing that the positive I'm going to take away from this game is, you know what? You kind of needed to realize you weren't invincible. You're not perfect. This team's played well for, you know, and they've had things that they've done really, really well. The offense we've been praising, the power play we've been praising, but you know, the penalty kill has shown its ugly head a couple times. There's been some defensive lapses.
It actually had been rolling of late, and then it obviously didn't.
Right. But
it fell apart last night.
But my point is, not everything was fixed. And I think it got shown last night. You know, Pekka, I give Peter Laviolette props. I mean, it was the right time to pull him because you were just going to hang him out to dry. And then UC Soros coming in cold just with that. That was an impossible situation. But I think this team learned some things about themselves that they needed to learn. And the fact that they're doing it in November is a good thing because you still got a lot of time to clean that up. You know, for people that are saying the season's over, what is this? That's stupid. That's flat out stupid.
I wouldn't even waste my time answering to people. Like I said, I don't know if they're just – doing that to get a rise, or if they're just trying to be funny. I mean, you don't know the tone on Twitter, but when I got that tweet last night, season's over, I'm like, you know.
Yeah, I was watching it. Like I said, I was out with a buddy, and we were watching football and the game. And Brewhouse South, one of our locations, or Brewhouse 100, one of our locations for Smashville Live, so we were there. And I got in the car, and it was 6-3, and I'm listening to Pete and Hal break it down. I'm like, what the heck just happened?
Well, 5 goals in 4.5 minutes will do it.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Right. But it's just, I had shock and I was like, you know, upset, but you move on.
Do you remember St. Louis the first 3 months of the season last year?
Yeah.
They weren't very good, right?
No.
And I realized
what they do in
this
June?
Comes with a caveat that they change coaches and they change their approach and their system. I get that. Okay. But do you think the Blues gave up a 9-goal game last year? Just I looked it up because I wanted to see, because just to prove that it doesn't mean anything. I'm not doing this like,
see, I'm going to say they probably
St. Louis did it, so that means the Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup because they gave up 9 goals. No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm going to say they did. Since you're bringing it up,
they didn't.
They didn't.
They did not. Did they give up an 8-goal game?
Okay. And look,
no, I'm asking you, did they give up an 8-goal game?
I really have no idea.
Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Did they give up a 7-goal game?
Probably.
Twice. Did they give up 6-goal games?
Yes.
There was like 5 or 6.
Right.
The point is, they had some real clunkers, especially the first 3 months. And I get it. Albeit, they changed coaches, they changed their approach, they changed their system. The point is, they were getting their hat handed to them the first 3 months of the season, and it wasn't losing 3-2 in overtime. Okay.
Yeah.
I just told you they had an 8-goal game. It was against, I think, Winnipeg. They gave up 2 7-goal games. And I think both of them were like 7-1. Okay, you think that feels good?
No.
And then there was like 5 or 6 games of giving up 6 goals. So and they went on to win the Stanley Cup. So it's a long journey. Does that mean that this 9-goal game leads to them winning the Stanley Cup? No, I'm just saying it's a long journey. And those things happen, and teams do recover.
This is my big thing, though. The great teams, it's how you respond when you get your butt kicked. Because they got their butt kicked.
And
last
I said
night.
That. I said, that's why I said you keep this. And I said, now, if they don't respond in San Jose, then it's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Like, it's now like, okay, what's going on? Like, you just got embarrassed, and your response to a bad Sharks team is you laid another egg, or you lost again. Or I guess the best way to put it is you laid another egg. Like, that can't happen. And I suspect they won't. I suspect they will respond. But
and it doesn't. They don't have to put up 6 goals either.
But you're right.
You come out and you play a solid game.
You play a solid. Exactly. It could be 1-0. That's
sure.
A solid game. That's completely changing everything, right? So let's just see. Let's just see, and then we'll talk on Monday. What did it look like?
Yeah.
What was the response on Saturday?
And I put 35 in too. I put him back out there.
Yeah.
Because that's how Pekka is. Pekka's gonna hold on to this. You put Pekka back out.
I agree with that. Let's go. We'll come back. Let's bring in Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. Let's talk to him about the Titans and the Chiefs. We do that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Tom. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe on this Friday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We say hello and good morning to Jim Wyatt. You can find his work at TitansOnline.com. They're set to take the field in about 45 minutes, getting ready for practice against the Chiefs Sunday at noon over at Nissan Stadium. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you guys are doing well.
How nice was it to erase that 20-game losing streak right out of the gates? Huh?
Yeah, it was nice. It was, I've left the gym a lot of times in January, February, I guess in March, after losses. So it was good to leave the game the other night with the win. And it was a good start. You know, certainly competition will get better as the season goes on. I like some of these players on this team. I like Jerry Stackhouse, and I like the lighting in the gym. They've done some things with the lighting that's different, that makes it a better viewing experience, if you ask me.
Really?
So, I guess the lights, I don't know whether they're new lights, but at least they've got them angled to where the floor is lit up. And these may be these new LED lights, but then, and I sit in the lower level, but it was throughout the gym. It was kind of a darker, more like a theater feel to it, where it's kind of a darker in the stand. So
sure.
I just thought it was a lot better. It's not like it's dark, but certainly a more subtle lighting in other parts of the gym.
Wow. I have not heard anything about that. So that's, you're kind of.
I'm the only one. I talked to my brother, and I've talked to a few people. I haven't seen anything written. I haven't heard it talked about much other than me saying it, but the feedback from me is good.
Okay. Good to know. All right, we'll file that one away. And we said we heard it here first from Jim Wyatt. Breaking news. Vanderbilt with new lights in Memorial Gym.
He's Nashville's reporter. That's
there,
Jim Wyatt.
He is. So how do you see this playing out? Because we've kind of joked. you know, just kind of how this has gone this season and how it's kind of gone in the past. You know, this is like the typical game where the minute you count the Titans out, this is the game they stand up and they win. So how do you see this playing out?
Well, I've heard that too, man. And I think people are remembering the game against the Patriots last year, maybe remembering the game against the Eagles, and maybe remembering some other games. And if it happens, that'd be great. It certainly would lead to questions. Well, if you can do that against the Chiefs, then why couldn't you do it against Buffalo? And why couldn't you play better against the Broncos? And why couldn't you play better against the Panthers? So if it happens, it would lead to, you know, to frustration from the fan base. I have a feeling that even, you know, win, but it's a big, you know, it's a tough challenge on Sunday, because while that theory sounds good, and I think other people are saying they wouldn't be surprised, this is a heck of a challenge, you know, with Mahomes coming back, which it certainly looks like that's the case, and their offense that is so high powered and so many different weapons. And, you know, and the Titans certainly, you know, as you mentioned, the practicing here about 40, 45 minutes. The injury report coming out yesterday didn't look good. We had Drew Casey in practice again. Delaney Walker in practice again. No Jayon Brown, no Corey Davis, if I didn't say him earlier. Even Jeffrey Simmons had the injury report. So curious to see what things are going to look like when practice starts. But this is NFL, and no matter who is in there, you know, you got to rise up and win. And I've said this before. I mean, some people I've heard say, you know, well, it's a shame that Patrick Mahomes is coming back this week. Why couldn't you wait another week? Well, the teams you're competing against in the AFC South beat the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And I'm talking about the Colts, and I'm talking about the Texans. So if you're a legitimate contender and you're who you're supposed to be, you've got to find a way to win this game. I don't care whether Mahomes is playing or not or who is not in the lineup. So this is NFL. You know, team's got seven games left, sitting at 4-5. Keep losing, season's going to run out, and you're going to be watching the playoffs.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I guess the follow-up to everybody saying, including us, going, well, this is the game you don't expect to win, and watch them just go out there and win. And then the next follow-up question is, yeah, but how? I mean, the Chiefs are they're loaded. And so I saw your tweet yesterday, and I mean, I literally was like, I looked at it, I put my glasses on because now I have to have readers. That means I'm getting old, and I'm like, I'm sure I didn't read that correctly, so let me put my readers on. Tannehill to Mariota. What? There's a video attached. Mariota, yeah, the wide receiver?
and I think as of this morning, I think it had like 230,000 views on it.
It's a nice route.
I mean, it's funny how a video like that, you know, prompted so many different responses. And Mariota's not switching to receiver. They've been doing that. I will say, you know, they've been doing that in kind of the early warm-up period since the start of training camp. Now, usually it's Tannehill. It had been Mariota throwing to Tannehill in a lot of those drills. And I've tweeted out that picture probably, you know, five times since camp started, you know, Tannehill throwing a pass. I mean, I'm sorry, Mariota throwing a pass to Tannehill, and that got some responses. But for some reason, when it was Mariota on the receiving end, and I will say Marcus he sold the route. I mean, he gave it everything he had, made some moves to make that catch. But once that went out there, people started saying, oh, they're switching Marcus to receiver. And, you know, what a great idea. At least get him. They're not switching Marcus to receiver. It was just a drill they do in practices that just happened to kind of take off because of who was catching the pass and because how much spirit he put into the route, I think.
Yeah, well, the bodies keep falling. They may have to at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I will say that since, you know, beginning of the season, because of Tannehill's ability as a receiver himself, he's a former receiver. A lot of people say, well, why don't they have something in the plan that you know would take advantage of that, or Marcus is throwing him a pass or something. But believe me, working for the team, if they're really working on a secret drill in practice, and I tweeted out, I wouldn't be talking to
you. Yeah, that's what
representative of the Tennessee Titans.
Jim, that's exactly what I told Chase. I go, well, there's nothing to that, because Jim wouldn't be putting that video out if he was playing wide receiver on Sunday.
Yeah,
Chase, was that not my exact words?
Yeah,
I go, yeah, that's a nothing video. We'll have fun with that with Jim, but he wouldn't be putting that out there if he was in a lineup and play
we'd
receiver.
We'd be seeing a tweet of Jim saying, I'm proud to launch JimWyatt.com.
That's about right, yes. I may not be the smartest guy around, but I'm not dumb enough to put something out there they're trying to keep secret.
Last thing on my end, we had a really good conversation with Jonnu Smith yesterday. What do you see from him moving forward as things look like they're slowing down for Delanie Walker and now he's having to battle injuries constantly? He talked to us about how much he's learned from Delanie Walker. Obviously, just like the team, he's got to be more consistent on his end, but you see those flashes where you're like, you get excited. So what do you think? What do you see out of Jonnu Smith to this point, and what do you think we'll be talking about Jonnu Smith in the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, he's gotten a lot better, and I think a lot of it has to do with just getting more opportunities and just getting more comfortable. I mean, the thing about Jonnu is, I mean, he had a serious knee injury in December that he had to work his way back from. So, the start that he got off to this year, you know, he's a little slow to start, but he seemed like he picked up momentum, you know, 5-6 games into the season. And you know, he's a capable guy who really has just been waiting for his chance. Now, he dropped a pass on Sunday in Carolina, and I think he needs to be, you know, more consistent like everybody else for this offense to kind of take off. I think he realizes that, you know. Time will tell maybe where Delanie Walker's career goes from here. He's obviously battling through that same ankle injury, but you know, Jonnu Smith has a chance to kind of further establish himself with the more chances he gets, and I think they'll try to utilize him moving forward.
We're talking to Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com, and Jim, I'll ask you the same question that Mike Vrabel was asked earlier this week. When you look at this offense right now through 9 games, what do you think the identity of this offense is?
Well, I know Mike Vrabel said the identity is being a tough physical team that likes to run the football, and I think that's obviously the way that they're built to some degree, but that didn't necessarily match up with that to start the game on Sunday. And I think I know at the beginning of this conversation we talked about how do you beat the Chiefs. Well, I think the way you beat the Chiefs is you do what the Colts and you do what the Texans did to them, and that's running the football and trying to control the clock and being physical with them. And I think that's what the Titans want to do on a lot of Sundays. Now, with that said, I mean, this offense has changed, and the personnel has changed over the last couple of years. I mean, I've covered the team for a long time, and I can't remember an offense that had receivers like this team does now as far as talent goes, with Corey Davis and with A.J. Brown and with Adam Humphries, a really good slot receiver, and Tajay Sharp capable of making plays. And that's a really good foursome. And so you've got to figure out a way to incorporate those guys in the offense. So I think it has to be a mix. I mean, you've got to be able to each week put together a game plan where 1 week you maybe have to take advantage of the running game and pound teams, and other teams, weeks you're going to have to throw it downfield. But I think I don't think you can just straight up say this team wants to run ball, because it's got other ways it can beat you, but that just hasn't necessarily happened every week this season.
I read your piece on Derrick Henry on TitansOnline.com, and you know, you look at his numbers, he's from last year at this point, he's pretty much doubled his yards and doubled his touchdowns, so he's having a decent year, but I feel like the beast hasn't really been awakened as of yet. And going up against the 29th ranked rushing defense in the league, this seems like an opportunity for him to really bust out.
Yeah, but I'll say this. I mean, I thought last week it was going to be that way too. I mean, especially at the start. And while it happened in the second half, it didn't happen at the beginning. And some of that has to do with the fact that they, you know, got penalties early and got into longer down and distance situations. But I think, you know, I think this week, I mean, you got to go into the game thinking this is how we're going to set the tone early. And to do that, you got to have success out of the gate. You can't have, you know, -1 and -2 runs, and you can't get holding penalties that put you in 1st and 20 and 2nd and 20. I mean, you've got to have success, and you can't wait for things to pick up steam. Otherwise, you're going to be down 17-0 again, like what happened in Carolina. So I agree. I mean, I think this is the kind of game where you've got to run the football and you've got to have success and you've got to keep it out of their hands, and you've got to build some momentum early instead of trying to play catch up, because that's a tough team to try to play catch up against.
They've lost Malcolm Butler for the season, putting him on IR earlier this week. So the next man up mentality comes into play. LaShawn Sims appears to be that, but what do you expect out of somebody like a Ty Smith as well as they try and fill the void left by Butler?
Well, I think you'll see a lot of Sims, and you'll see a lot of, you know, you obviously see Sims, Jackson, and Logan Ryan, and obviously if they go deeper as the Chiefs try to spread that out a little bit, that could bring other guys into the equation, and they're going to have to play well. I mean, the one thing about Sims is he didn't have a great game against Mike Evans. That's the one thing, anytime you tweet out about Sims, it seems like people want to counter, well, he was terrible against Mike Evans, and Mike Evans made him look bad. Well, Mike Evans makes a lot of guys look bad, and LaShawn Sims wasn't his only victim on that Sunday a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he got everybody. I think against this Chiefs offense where you've got, you know, a tight end in Kelsey who's so good, and you've got a receiver in Tyreek Hill who's so fast, and Watkins who had a 198-yard day earlier this year, and I think they've got five receivers, at least five pass catchers who have had at least one 100-yard game this season. So they got weapons all over the place. So it's gonna require the secondary playing well. It's going to require linebackers covering well. Mahomes is a tough guy to defend because he does keep plays alive, and he can sling it, and he can throw it with his opposite hand, and he can throw it sidearm, and he's tough to get on the ground. So, I mean, it's the best offense this team has faced. And it kind of sounds weird, but it almost heading into the game, having many concerns about how the defense is going to stop them as I do about whether the offense can do its part. And that certainly has been an issue too many games this year.
Yeah, what has been the attitude of the defense this week? I know last week they had their struggles. They were on the field for a lot of it, and we talked to Keith Bullock earlier this week, who basically said, I mean, if the defense stays on the field as much as they have been lately, they're gonna wear out eventually. But what's been the mindset of the defense this week?
Well, Dean Pease is excited. I mean, I don't know that he speaks for the group and saying that it's been fun to prepare for them. He said, you watch his tape, and who doesn't love to watch Patrick Mahomes play? I do. I mean, I'm glad he's playing this game. I mean, he's one of the best players in the league, and so I'm excited that he's playing in this game. And so the Titans have got to rise up and figure out a way to beat him. I think they realize the challenge that's ahead, and I think these guys are all excited about trying to see how they match up, because I think a lot of people feel like they're going to be overmatched in this game and they're not going to be able to slow down the Chiefs. So that they take that as a challenge upon itself. But, you know, they got to get help. I mean, the offense has got to carry its end of the bargain. You know, you're getting shut out four times in the first half in nine games this year and not giving the defense something to kind of build momentum off of. I mean, that can't happen on Sunday. You can't fall in a 14-0 hole or a 17-0 hole, and because the defense, defense is going to do its job either way. But you'd like to have a little momentum and try to have something to keep you extra fired up. And it's human nature, I think, if you're down by three scores, you know, you'll lose your edge a little bit. So it needs to be a complete performance to win this game on Sunday. And I have no question the defense is ready to do its part.
We'll see how it plays out. A 4-6 hole going into the bye week is not where you want to be. 5-5 sounds and feels a whole lot better. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. Jim, always appreciate it. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you do the same. Jim Wyatt, his work can be found at TitansOnline.com and of course at Jim Wyatt Sports on Twitter. And as you just heard, that video garnered quite the response yesterday when he put out there Tannehill to Mariota, and it was Tannehill. Mariota lined up as a receiver. And
it was a
pass
good route.
To Mariota. Yeah.
It was a pretty good route.
So we will come back with more here in the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You just made the list. I'm ready for mine today at high noon. Got some Journey and Pretenders tickets to give away to Bridgestone Arena. Before you can even get them. Well, actually, you can get them now. They've been on sale for 37 minutes.
There you go. And 34 seconds.
Pick six at one. Yet again, I'm going to be several weeks in a row very excited about the review. Again. Kind of a little bit on a roll here. Starting to get my legs back underneath.
If only that could work for Silly Underdogs.
If it just worked on Thursdays, too. I feel like I'm getting closer on Thursdays.
Yeah. We both have been.
We've been close.
We've been covering.
We're covering. We're just not getting them to knock down the door and winning. But pick six, it is about covering.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have that at 1 o'clock, and we'll have another great prize attached to that. By the way, you, the listeners out there, have been doing a fantastic job with pick six. We're getting, first of all, we're getting the highest numbers of participants we've ever had. And this is, I don't know what year this is with pick six, but we're getting, because we've extended it to thegamenashville.com and we've given the little hook about calls this year, we get two top shelves. We're getting a lot of people playing. And I'll tell you what, you listeners out there are crushing it, man. Our winners, it's almost like you need 7 points to win pick six.
Yeah, because
I feel like every week that somebody
getting better and better. Yeah,
yeah, everybody. It's like you're not gonna. If you get 3 points, you're not winning this contest on a weekly. You know, any week.
No,
not with as many people we have playing now.
If you're like me, you're not winning because that's about what I do. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. You've kind of been stuck in a 2-3 point run.
Yeah, except for I did have I had a 5 or 6 point week a few weeks ago, but.
So you were asking me during the break,
yeah.
What do people feel about this team? 4-5 through 9 games. This is going to be game 10, and then it's going to be a reset, a week off, and then you've got the final. I mean, literally, you're heading to third, and you're rounding third, and you're heading home in the final six, and it is going to be imperative that and the outfielder just juggle the ball, so you better be running fast,
right?
Because you're going to get the green light to go,
right?
So you're going to round third, and you are going to barrel home, and so what are they going to have? What are they going to do for the final six? But you can't think about that right now. You got to think about Sunday. And so you were just kind of asking me, where is the fan base? Because as we had our conversation yesterday with Seren Petro in Kansas City, who does an afternoon show there, he said, I asked him the question, people are geeked about the Chiefs this season this year for good reason. People actually in Kansas City feel like they are a Super Bowl contender. As long as Mahomes is out there, they are a Super Bowl contender.
Because they are. I mean,
they are.
It's the truth.
And he said, I said, are they coming to Nashville? He said, oh, they're coming.
Yeah.
So it's going to be littered in red on Sunday. I don't know what the number is, but it's going to be a lot.
Here's why there's many reasons why I ask the question of what the pulse of the fan base. What do you think about this team? How do you feel right now? Because when I hear the media ask the head coach the question of what is the identity of the offense or the identity of the football team, and he gives the coach speak answer and basically says, I mean, the translation was, I don't think they know. I think they're still trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know what the identity of this team is. What does that mean for interest in this team? So that's what I'm curious about. And if you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025, I want to know. I want to know what the fan base thinks about this football team right now, because it's been, in my opinion, the same way that it has been over the last 3 years, just kind of the middle of the road. I mean, they're 4-5. They have a chance to get back to 500, but it seems like anytime they hover around that, they just can't take that extra step. And we've joked and commented all week that this is the type of game where you could see them somehow getting a win, that if they run the football and they do all the things that they need to do offensively, that the defense can help them out. But, I mean, I can't, like, sit here and say, yeah, you know what, that's going to be the case, because you can't predict that. So I'm just curious of the interest level of the fan and how they feel about this team right now.
Honestly, the way I ask the question is there anybody out there that feels positive and upbeat about this team?
Yeah.
Is there anybody out there that feels like, hey, you know what? You watch. They're going to figure out a way to get it done and then tell us, what's your plan? Okay, how are they going to get it done? That's what I would like to know. I mean, I'm cool with what is the pulse right now. How do you feel? Because I would like to know. You would like to know. You know, what are your thoughts right now? Because I do – unfortunately, there's been too much of this. The minute there feels like this movement, this little bit of a swell of, okay, people are getting excited. People are right there. They're getting ready to tip over, and it's going to be full on. Then yeah. they have the clunker, and then it just resets again.
They get knocked down.
Yeah, and it gets reset. And it's like those people go away. And they're like, yeah, I'll come back. I'll come back the next time I'm feeling like that again.
But see, and that's the big difference in, and I'll take the two teams in town right now. You know, the Preds have a game like they did last night, and you don't feel good about it, and you have a bad taste in your mouth, but you also know what the overall body of work of this team has been. So you go, okay, all right, let's see how they respond on Saturday, and it's easier to just move past it. With the Titans, it's up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down, and that's how it's been.
Well, the wins and losses are also there's more value in
sure.
football win and loss, because in 82 games, you know, wins a lot.
You got 16.
You got 16, and the other one you have 82, and yeah, 9-4 is bad, but it still counts as one loss. That's it.
Right.
And you have, so they have what left on the season? A math.
They just played, ironically, 16. So that would be
65 games
65,
left?
Yeah.
Right? How about that? Huh?
That was good.
Teamwork. All right, let's find out the pulse. Maybe these people are calling to say our math wasn't correct. Patton and Mount Juliet, get us started. How do you feel about this team?
Hey, guys. Season ticket member for the Titans. Been to every game this season. I will be there this Sunday, mostly because I've given them my money already, and there's no point in I guess I could sell them, but I love going to the games anyway, but for me, I think what's the point of winning any more games this season? Say we do win a few more and we go 8-8. What does that do for us? That just shafts us in the draft or selecting in the middle. And for me, I don't think Tannehill's done a good job, but to me, I don't want a good job from a quarterback. I want a difference maker. And the whole thing with Mariota was he wasn't a difference maker, and I believe the same thing with Tannehill. So for me, at this point, what's the point in winning games, going 7-9, 8-8? Might as well just rip the Band-Aid off, go 4-12, get a really good quarterback in this year's draft, and we go again. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks,
interesting,
guys.
Thank you, Patton. That's not a call I thought we would receive.
No, but I'm glad that we got one from a season ticket holder.
I was gonna say, from a season ticket holder that goes every week.
Yeah.
Or goes to every home game.
Right. That's
like the fan from home on their couch. Okay, I get that.
Yeah. But that speaks volumes.
Somebody that is actually spending their money and going in their time mm-hmm. and saying, I'm cool if they lose out, that's not the call I expected. But
I mean, to Patton's point, this is where they've been. They've been in the middle of the road, and so they've been picking middle of the draft. And now it's, you know, before it was like, okay, you can still get some good talent, which you can. But now everybody knows what they have to select. Now everybody knows what that first round pick needs to be used on. It needs to be used on the most important position. And are you going to get the franchise guy that this team has been looking for since Steve McNair left? Are you going to get that picking middle of the road? I don't think so. And so I think that's why he said that.
Let's go to Gray. Gray, how do you feel about this team?
Hey, guys. The Titans team, you ask about the identity. They're a filler team. What I mean by that is the NFL has 33 teams. They have to play somebody on Sunday. What I mean is the contending teams, the real NFL teams, have to play somebody every Sunday, and that's what the Titans are for. Their window has closed, and what Pat just said would be great if it were about football with this program, but it's not. This organization is about entertainment. And it really is a business for them. I mean, they're going to generate the dollars. There's nothing wrong with that, but we just have to recognize as fans as what it is. I mean, they're just a movie that's also playing in the theater, but it's not a blockbuster. It's just something to go see and fill your time. The Titans are not going to lose out because they're playing for their jobs. Vrabel's playing for his job. He's listening to you guys, so he's going to try to win some games, and he is going to win enough games for them to be right there in the middle. And so their draft pick will be right there in the middle. And they'll just be what they are again next year and then the year after that. And they're just a team that also gives the real teams in the NFL somebody to punch against every Sunday. And maybe they win, maybe they lose, but it'll be good and it'll be entertaining. And that's all the Titans are.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
You know what?
That sound like a wrestling reference. I'm surprised you didn't jump in there. The guy that's supposed to go in there and, you know.
Jobber.
What, I don't know. I was going to ask you, what is the jobber term?
That's what you call that guy a jobber, that his job is to go out and make the star look
show,
good.
Yeah. Show him up.
Yeah, and just make them look good.
Yeah.
And then put them over, and then they lose. And I think that is a fantastic call. Because you know what? That's what they have been. They're the filler. They're the, if you get the album and, you know, the band records the album and they have the five songs that are like, these are just the bangers, these are the hits, and then you have the rest, then that's kind of what they've been. You can call them the also-ran, you can, however you want to put it, but that is a good call.
Let me give you another option for them to close out the first hour. On the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. I was reading something this morning that says, it feels like Philip Rivers and the Chargers are moving toward the end.
Hmm.
And so we've talked about this before. He's from over on this side of the country. He's about, what?
An hour and a half away.
About 2 hours down the road,
yeah.
Right? Up in northern Alabama. He's going to be 38 in December. So next month he's going to be 38. And let's just say he's made it clear, right? He's commuting from San Diego to L.A., which is not an easy commute.
Right.
I don't know how he does that, but he does.
He has a van that he does film study in. Somebody drives, and he watches. That's when he watches.
I was gonna say, that makes sense because he doesn't have the Kobe helicopter.
Yeah.
But let's just say, and he's got like 12 kids. Let's just say it's just time to pack up the family and get back to this side, and that he's tired of the commute. He's made it clear from the get-go he didn't want to play in L.A. He never wanted to leave San Diego. And let's just say that's it, because he is a free agent. And they just decide, everybody decides it's just time to move on. He's had an unbelievable, I don't know, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
I've thought about that recently. I think he's right there. A title would help.
I mean, he's probably going to throw for 60,000 yards in his career.
Yeah, he probably ends up being in the Marino category of doesn't have a Super Bowl, but is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. I don't think there's any doubt. Well, I shouldn't say I don't think there's any doubt, but I think he is a Hall of Famer for sure. He hasn't had the postseason success in his career, which is what we tend to judge people on. So he obviously doesn't have a ton of playoff experience. When he did, not very many deep runs. I think the deepest run was, what, 07? It's a long time ago.
They went to the AFC Championship, didn't they?
I think that was 07. Yeah. So let's just say this is it. Is that the bridge? Is that the gap the Titans should be exploring?
Yeah.
Would you be cool with a season of Philip Rivers?
If they can keep the rest of the team around him the way that – or make it better, you know, but get Derrick Henry back and some of the other free agents that you need to take care of. And then you sign him.
Well, but you're going to lose some players. I mean,
you're going to lose players.
Conklin's probably gone, right?
Probably.
Derrick Henry, you would think, is back.
Unfortunately, I think Logan Ryan could be gone, and I think that's a mistake. I think he's somebody they should bring back. I think they should bring back Derrick Henry.
At a hefty price, though.
Yeah.
Logan Ryan, you going to pay him a lot?
It depends on. I'm not going to pay him what they paid him on the last contract.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think you're
going to
get him on? Bargain bin? I don't think so.
I don't think you're going to get him on bargain bin, but I do think you're going to get him on Nashville because he's put roots down here. The family likes it here, so I think you could get a little bit of a hometown discount for him to stay. I don't know how much
that is. He'll be 29 next season, so I mean, he's in the prime of his career.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely a chance with him. Derrick Henry is another one. Does Derrick Henry like how he's being used here? Does he think he can go get paid more and be used more somewhere else? I don't know. So to answer your question, yes, because I think that that's going to be what they need to do, especially if they end up drafting middle of the first round. You can get a good quarterback, but it's probably not a day one guy. It's probably someone that's going to need to sit for at least a year.
And there's nothing wrong with that. We talked about that.
And I'm fine with that. But
Mahomes sat his first year. Did not play.
He did, But you also have to factor in that you got an antsy fan base, you got an antsy, antsy ownership that's like, hey, we've been 9-7, 8-8, we've been right in the middle. So whoever the stopgap is needs to be competitive and help take this team up a notch. Because
you don't think Philip Rivers is that?
No, I that's my point. I think he is. But you have to give him the weapons. You have to put the team around him because we've seen
not really. What big weapons? Honestly, I mean, you think he's been littered with weapons throughout his career?
Antonio Gates was pretty darn good.
Okay.
LaDainian Tomlinson was pretty darn good.
First ballot Hall of Famer, both of them. Okay? I get it.
Melvin Gordon's pretty good.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's not like he's been, littered. What great receiver? I mean, yeah. I'm just telling you, I've watched a lot of Chargers teams over the years, and there's times with injuries, and he was throwing to nobody and still throwing for 380 yards to a bunch of nobodies.
And Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, pretty good. Okay, he can work with that. I think those two and then, whatever else, Humphreys, Sharp. I think he has a receiving core. Johnny Smith, we've seen, who knows what the future holds for Delanie Walker.
I mean, Philip Rivers basically throws for 4,500 yards and 32 touchdowns every year.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, well, he'll be 38 next year, and so I don't know. I mean, by the way, he's on pace for all of that in the yards, but probably he's got work to do on the touchdowns. He's not going to hit that at the pace he's on, but he's already approaching 3,000 yards for the season already.
Right. Well, look, I think it would be a great signing if you could make it happen and then have somebody behind him that – can learn.
Well, yeah, your first round pick needs to be the quarterback.
Yeah, whether it's
let that quarterback sit.
Yeah,
and watch play and learn from a pro, a Hall of Famer.
Sign Rivers to usually they sign him to a 2-year deal.
At that age, don't you just got to go year by year?
Yeah, but it's like Brady's deal. Like Brady is year to year, but Brady's deal is I think essentially like a 3-year deal that you get out of. So whatever, however you can. Spread the money around. But I think that'd be a good option.
I would make a hard push because I don't believe the Tom Brady thing. I mean,
I don't either.
Why would he come? Why would he pick
the only reason I ever brought that up was because of Vrabel and his connection to Vrabel and that they're friends and that if he wanted to truly leave New England, they're like, I'll go play for Mike. That's the only reason I ever went there. But Rivers is interesting. Yeah, because this has come up before. The last time he was a free agent.
There's no doubt it has. So we'll come back, kick off the second hour with Mike Rupp from NHL Network. That's next.